here.
Am I on up here?
All right.
A couple warnings first off. One is that I'm a pretty simple person, so I might use some words like ain't and gotta and y'all, so you just got to bear with me on that. Second is that I cannot stand still for anything, so I'll probably spend more time walking back and forth making trails in the carpet than I will up here. And third is I can tend to be very long-winded or very short-winded. And I don't know about tonight because my sinuses decided to peak last night that it would be a good time to get all clogged up. So we'll see what happens as long as my voice holds up. I'm just kind of kidding you about being long-winded. I won't be too terribly long tonight. But if you would tonight, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and then 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you saw my two oldest boys. Christopher is 11, Christian is 9. We have twin boy and girl, Stephen and Isabella, that are 3, and then a 4-month-old Joshua, and then my wife Imelda sitting back there actually holding Joshua right now. And we are, as Pastor mentioned, from Massillon, Ohio. We go to Pastor Art Martin's church, Bible Believers Baptist Church in Canton, Ohio. And what happened with me was I got saved while I was in the military. I was actually over in Germany in 1998, and I got involved in a network marketing business and thought that's what life was all about, and I wanted to get rich and make a lot of money, and I was all excited, and I started listening to these tapes. And in these tapes, there was men and women telling you how to make money and be a successful business owner, but at the same time, they were mentioning God, and they were quoting Bible verses. And I told my wife, I said, well, you know, if we're going to be successful in business, sounds like we need to go to church or do something like that. That's what all these men have done. So we went to a military church. First, we went to a Catholic mass. My wife was raised Catholic, and I got tired of getting up and down and didn't know what was going on. And I told her, I said, well, I don't think I can go back there. And the people in the back of the church just kind of sat in the back and talked while the whatever that guy I saw up there that wears the dress was doing his thing. And I said, we don't need to go back there anymore. So we ended up going to the Protestant service at on post, and I felt bad for the guy, I really did, because I know what it was like the first time I preached, it was his first time he ever preached, and his mom and dad was there, and Melda told me after that, she said, we're not going back there. So we were kind of, didn't know what to do, but we decided to come home on leave back to Ohio, and while we were home on leave, I visited my sister and my brother-in-law, and I wanted to tell them about our business. So I told them about our business. And when I got done, he said, Michael, that's great. He said, but if you die tonight, are you going to heaven or hell?
Amen. Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm probably going to go to heaven. He goes, what do you mean you're probably going to go to heaven? And I proceeded to explain to him when I was little, I went to church, and I knew some Bible stories and all this and that, and he witnessed to me, and I ended up getting saved that night, and then I started witnessing to my wife, and I started scaring her. And I was a fanatic right away, and I was probably saved all of 2 days, 3 days, and my brother-in-law said, hey, if you're right with God, you'll go street preaching, let's go. I said, sounds good to me. I didn't know what to expect, and we got out there, and he handed me a sign and said, put this sign on and just kind of watch and see what's going on. And he preached for a little bit, and he said, all right, Michael, it's your turn. So I proceeded to quote John 3:16, and I was done. But praise the Lord, I got excited about the things of God, and shortly after we got back to Germany, we found the only independent Baptist church right outside of the post there in Baumholder, Germany, and me and my wife started attending, asked the pastor over, and the pastor came over probably about a month after I got saved and led Imelda to the Lord. And our children don't know anything else but church, and that's kind of scary, because I think sometimes as children are raised in church, they take it for granted. But praise the Lord, he's been good to us, and I did my 14 years in the active duty Army, and I was a military policeman, joined right after a month out of high school. I've been on several deployments. One of those was to Iraq for a year, and I'll talk a little bit about that tonight. And after about 13 years and 10 months, I said, that's enough. And I was tired of being away from home, and I felt the Lord was calling me in to do something else, and he had already called me to preach, so we got out of the military. I came back to Ohio and actually started trying to raise some support to go full-time into the ministry as a missionary to America and things. The Lord just closed those doors and didn't allow things to work out the way I had planned. And he opened up doors to get me back to what I'm doing now. I'm a active duty National Guardsman. I'm a recruiter up in Worcester. And praise the Lord, he's just continued to bless us. I used to have a trouble with discernment and how to figure things out, what the Lord was telling me to do. And he made things so clear to me that even as dumb as I am, I was able to figure it out. So I praise the Lord. I got about 4 more years to go. And it's my decision that I'll be out of the military, but that's up to the Lord. And he may come and get us out of this mess before then anyway. But I'm just trying to do what the Lord wants me to do. I am preaching whenever I get a chance, filling pulpits. And I appreciate your pastor allowing us to come in tonight. So that's enough about me. I'm sure I bored you all. And I probably told you Romans chapter 1, and I meant Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, the Bible says this. It says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, probably very familiar scripture to most of you, the Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And let's pray this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you again, Lord, for another day you've given us, Lord, and your goodness and grace and mercy that you show us, Father. You've given us good health tonight. You've given us the ability to be here in this building out of the weather. And Lord, it's warm in here. And Father, you've just been better to us than we deserve. Now tonight, as I come to preach your word, Lord, Father, I know I can't do anything on my own, Lord. I pray tonight you'd hide me behind the cross, Lord, that my words would not be my own, but they'd be yours, and they'd go forth with power, Lord, and that some folks would leave here changed and challenged tonight, Lord. I can't do anything. I can't change anybody's heart. I can't change anybody's mind, but you can, Lord, so I pray that you meet with us in a special way this evening. Lord, cause us to get something from your word. Cause us to leave here having a desire to serve you better, Lord. We sure will be thankful for it. For anything you do here tonight, Lord, I'll be sure to give you the glory for it, for you and you alone deserve it. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." You should be very familiar with the fact that it's not always possible to live in peace. I was over in Iraq for 12 months, and I didn't want to shoot at the people, but when they shoot at you first, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
And tonight, what we're going to talk about is Christian combat. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. See, whether we want to admit it or not, every day you and I are in an unfriendly environment. As a Christian, as a child of God, as we go out there into this world, that's not a friendly environment for us. If you will, it's a combat environment. When I was in Iraq, not every day did they shoot mortars at us. Not every day did they shoot at us and try to blow us up when we were driving around. But there was times when they did. And we may go a month, maybe 2 months, things were real quiet. And then a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks straight, things were real bad. And that's the same thing as the way it is in the Christian life. You can go and things are going along great, and everything's looking up and looking good, and then all of a sudden, whoa, there's a roadblock there. And there's a decision that we have to make. So tonight, what I want to preach about is the Christian struggle, the Christian fight. We have, in 1 Timothy 1:18, it says, war, good warfare. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Let's face it, as a Christian, you and I have a job to do. And you say, well, what is that, Brother Mike? Look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Pretty simple. All these people out here and all these scholars and these scientists trying to figure out what the meaning of life is and why are we here and what are we supposed to be doing? It's pretty simple. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created."
Amen.
And of course, this is the 420 elders that are praising God and throwing the crowns at his feet, and he says that all things were created for God's pleasure. I don't know about you, but I do have a public education, and they said that word all means all. So I'm part of that all things. And you're part of that all things tonight. So you say, well, what is our purpose here? It's simple. We're part of that all things. We are created to please God.
Amen.
That's why you're here. That's why I'm here tonight, is to please God. You say, well, how do I do that? Pretty simple. You tell people about Jesus Christ. You try to live a life that's rewarding to to God and try to live a life that uplifts God and glorifies God and tell people how Jesus died on the cross for their sins and how he rose again from the dead and how he was buried and he rose again from the dead and how if they'll repent of their sins and trust him as their Savior, that they too can have an eternal home in heaven. That pleases God. That's why we're here tonight. So we're supposed to go out there and fight for God. We're supposed to be a soldier for God. Our enemy is defined in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, as principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness. 1 Peter 5, 8, he says that your adversary, the devil. And James 4, 4, it says a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I'm telling you tonight that there's a real war going on. We just can't see it. And there's spiritual wickedness in high places. There's demonic forces out there tonight. And I think if we could see it, we'd be so scared that we'd probably go in that corner and hide. Where can I get away from all this at? But tonight, God wants you and I to serve him and to go out there and to fight the battle. You know, it used to be, when I was in Iraq, I can remember that when Colin Imelda, back in the States, whenever I got a chance to use the phone, and she'd tell me, Michael, all from the news is how soldiers are dying and how stuff's blowing up and they don't want us there, and they don't want you guys there, and it's terrible. And that's all the news would do. They'd show that battle, that fighting going on all the time. And there was Americans that, at the flick of a button, could turn on their television and see the mess that we were in over there. Say, oh, Brother Mike, do you think we should be over there? No, I'm not going to get into that. I went because I didn't have a choice. I was a soldier, and I probably went over there and served my country. And there's many other men and women from all branches that are doing the same thing and have done the same thing. But you know what? That was real because you could flick on your TV and see the fighting going on. And everybody understood that there's war going on in Afghanistan and Iraq. Don't you wish sometimes that we could flip on our TV and instead of them saying this famous one died over here, this Hollywood actor or actress died, you know, they were a great person, and they did all this and all that, and they made all this money. Don't you wish sometimes they'd say, you know what? They died, and they're going to burn in hell forever. They died. They never trusted Jesus Christ. They weren't a Christian, and they're going to burn forever. I think there'd be a lot of different attitudes out there if we could see some of that. But you know what? You're not going to see that. It's up to us to go out there and tell people, hey, you know what? This is just temporary, this flesh we have. A mess. And someday you're going to die and you're either going to burn forever or you're going to spend an eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to go out there and tell people about that. Now let's look at preparation for combat. First of all, the first thing in order to serve is you have to enlist. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 13. I'm sure most of you can probably quote this verse. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says this, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. That means anybody. Amen. But let's face it, if you wanted to go serve your country tonight and you said, I want to go over and go to Iraq or Afghanistan, wherever there's a conflict going on, I want to go serve, and you found out when a unit was leaving and you showed up at that airport to get on that plane, they would stop you and say, wait a second, who are you? Say, well, I want to serve. Say, well, the problem is you got to go enlist first. Once you enlist, then we'll give you some training, then you can go serve. Same thing as a Christian. The difference is in the military, you raise your right hand and you take an oath of enlistment. State your name and you swear to defend your country and abide by the rules and regulations. And to enlist in God's army, you raise a prayer up to heaven. You repent of your sins, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and now you're enlisted in God's army. You're a Christian. So if you want to serve God, I'm here to tell you tonight, the first thing you need to do is enlist into God's army. And you say, well, brother, I'm a Christian. You know how many people out there call themselves Christian that have no idea what it really means? There's millions and millions and millions of people tonight that are going to die and burn in hell because they say, I'm a Christian because I believe in God. I'm a Christian because I go to church. I'm a Christian because I believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what people call themselves. It matters what state, their spiritual state they're in, and whether they've ever truly repented of their sins and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we need to go out there when we leave this place throughout our lives and our daily routines, and as we go to work, go to school, and do all those things and interact with all those people, we're the ones that are supposed to tell them, you know what, just because you go to church doesn't mean you're Christian. The Bible says even the devil believes and trembles. The devil knows who God is. He knows who Jesus Christ is. You mean to tell me the devil's a Christian because of that? Absolutely not. But there's many people out there that think that they're Christian because they know about God. They know about Jesus. That doesn't get it. God says you're going to burn forever if that's your state. So the first thing is, in order to go to combat, we need to enlist. The next thing is we need to train. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I had a guy that asked me, he goes, sitting there talking to his son, and he said, Sardoni, he goes, well, I heard, you know, back when Iraq and Afghanistan kicked off, you had these pharmacists that were in the pharmacy, and all of a sudden they were just told, get up, pack your bags, and they're going straight to Iraq. He said, does that happen? I said, no, that doesn't happen like that. They'll get up, pack your bags, and go do some training. They call it mobilization, and then go to Iraq. They don't just send people straight into combat without training. The same thing as us as Christians, you and I need to get some training. You know, the best training we can get is on-the-job training. I'm a firm believer that the way you find out how to witness people is go witness to people. Go tell them about Jesus Christ, and when they start throwing 20 or 30 questions at you, then you'll know what to study and how to find out to answer their questions. That's what happened to me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. We need to study that word of God so when we go out there and talk to people, we know what's right and what's wrong. And as soon as they start telling us about their heresy in their church, we can say, whoa, whoa, what's the Bible say about that? Look at this verse. Look at this verse. So what happened to me, got back to Germany, and I had a buddy that had just recently been saved, probably 6 months before I was, and he goes, well, let's go tell people. Let's go witness. So where did we go? Right downtown Baumwedel, Germany, between two bars. Friday or Saturday night, great place to witness. And we're out there handing out tracts and talking to people, and there's beer bottles flying around and people yelling at us and cursing at us. But I learned by going out there, every time I talk to somebody, they can do more Bible than I did. And here I was trying to tell them how to be saved. And what did that do? It made me study. It made me have a desire to not make a fool out of myself anymore and to know a little bit more Bible than John 3:16. Are there still times when I talk to people even today that they come up with something that I can't defend? Yeah, sometimes. But at least I can find some scripture to route it to what they're talking about today because I've studied the Word of God. And if you're scared that you're going to go out there and I'd like to witness, brother, I'd like to witness, pastor, but I'm afraid somebody's going to say something or ask something that I don't know the answer to. I can almost guarantee that's going to happen. But that's the way you learn, on-the-job training. So first we enlist, second we train, and the third thing is we must be able to follow orders. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says this, it says, but ye be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, it's great to read the Word of God and memorize verses and to know all these things, what God says, how we're supposed to live our lives. It's another thing to do it. And if we want to be effective for the Lord Jesus Christ, effective in God's army, we need to be able to do what that Bible says and put into action what we're supposed to do. Think about this. You have a group of soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, whoever out there, and they get this mission that, hey, you need to go secure that building and defend it until morning. And one of them says, well, I think we should approach from this direction and make an L into it. The other one says, well, we should go from this side. The other one says, well, we should go straight down the middle. The other one says, we should come from behind and get to that building. It's not going to work. You need one person to be able to give orders and to follow them. Who's that one person that gives us our orders? God gave it to us in His Word. Now, He's established pastors and given them pastoral authority, and you need to be following the man of God as he's following God. And as long as your pastor is doing what's biblically right and he can show you from the Word of God, this is what we're supposed to do, you need to be following your pastor. You say, well, I disagree with him sometimes. He's the pastor. You follow him. You need to be able to follow orders if you're going to serve God. It doesn't do any good for me to be at church and for one of the men to say, hey, Pastor Martin, let's go out and go on visitation on Thursday evenings. And I go up and say, well, that's nice, but I think it would be better if we went on Tuesday evenings. And after I talk to the pastor about it, he says, no, we're going to stick with Thursdays. What good does it for me to do to go and say, well, everybody, we're going to go on Tuesdays. Don't worry about what the pastor says. We're going to split that church. And a Baptist church is split over little tiny things these days. So we need to follow the pastor as he's following God. So we need to enlist, we need to train, and we must be able to follow orders. That's how we're going to be effective in God's army. Now let's talk about in combat here for a minute. Actually, for a couple minutes. The first thing I want you to look at is look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, the Bible says this. It says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. The first thing I want to say in battle tonight or in combat is, there's going to come a time where you're either going to stand and fight or you're going to turn and run. In the military, we call that fight or flight. There's going to come a time when you have to make a decision, am I going to stand? Am I going to stay in my foxhole? Am I going to stay up on that gun in the vehicle? Am I going to stay in my post? Am I going to fight or am I going to turn and run? And fortunately, most of the time, soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines stand and fight. I had a gunner that didn't want to fight. He's got some bruises all over his legs after that. Because I didn't like getting shot at, him not returning fire. But as a Christian, we are going to make a decision every single day, fight or flight. You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Mike? I mean, how many times have you been at the workplace, at the store, at school, and you hear somebody use Jesus Christ as a cuss word? How many times do you hear them take the Lord's name in vain? GD this, GD that, and use it as a curse word. And what do? You either say, you know what? Hey, I don't appreciate that. You're talking about my God. You're talking about my Savior. Or you do this number and turn around and walk away. You chose to turn and run instead of stand and fight. How many times do you hear workplace conversations or school or wherever you're at, and people are talking about politics and this and that and abortion and everything else? And I'm not saying get involved in all that mess, but how many times could you stand up and take a stand and give someone the gospel and you choose not to? Because you didn't want to stand and fight. You do that in combat too many times, and the enemy's going to laugh at you, first of all, because every time you shoot, they shoot, you turn and run. And second of all, it's completely ineffective. And as God's army, as a child of God, we're in His army, we need to stand and fight for God every day. Amen. And those little times when you think, you know what, I need to hand this person a tract, I need to tell them about Jesus Christ, but look at those earrings they're wearing and that makeup and that t-shirt and they're evil and they're wicked and I'm not going to hand them that tract. How many times have we done that? Now, I'm not sitting here trying to run anybody down here tonight because in case you haven't figured it out, yes, most people when they preach, a lot of it's geared towards the one that they see when they look in the mirror. But how many times have we had a chance to stand and fight, and we choose not to stand and fight? Fight or flight. Are you going to take a stand for God? It's easy to say. It's easy to say, everywhere I go, I'm going to have tracts. And everybody I talk to, I'm going to hand out a tract. Until you say hi to that one person, and instead of saying hi to them, they say, psh. And they're having a bad day, and so what do? Well, I was going to hand them a tract, but maybe I'll just stop handing out tracts today. Somebody's going to get upset with me. I can guarantee you hand out tracts for any length of time, sooner or later somebody's going to call you a name. Sooner or later somebody's going to say, you're violating my rights, which they can never tell me what right that is, but I'm violating one of them by trying to give them a free piece of paper and tell them about Jesus Christ. They can call me at 6 or 7 night when I'm eating dinner and tell me about some bogus scheme they have for me to make money or this new product and all this and that, but I try to give them something free on their way out of door, and I'm violating their rights. You know what? God says all that live godly shall. doesn't say might, he says shall suffer persecution. We don't know what persecution is in America, let's face it. When's the last time you seen somebody getting thrown in jail as they're walking into the Baptist church? Because they were going to the Baptist church. We don't know what persecution is. But every day, you and I make a decision. Are we going to stand and fight? Or are we going to turn and run? There comes a time in combat where you have to make that choice. Now let's look at another one. In combat, your weapons must be effective. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. See, the biggest difference is you're in the military. When they call you up and say, hey, we got deployment orders, and we're going to Iraq, or we're going to Afghanistan, or we're going to Vietnam, or we're going to Egypt, or we're going to wherever we're going, your decision on whether or not you're going stops right there. You were just told you're going. You don't have a choice in the matter. As a Christian, we have a choice. We can either say, hey, I've been listening to God's army, I know I'm supposed to serve him, and I'm going to serve him, or we can say, you know what, I'll let somebody else serve him. There's never going to be a perfect time to serve God. If you think that, you know, if I can just pay these bills off, if I can just get this problem worked out, if I can just get this thing right in my life, then I'll serve God. You know when that stuff will get worked out? Never. Or when it gets worked out, 10 more problems come up right behind it. Been there, done that one. Just get this thing taken care of, then I'll go out and I'll street preach 3 nights a week. You know what? As soon as that thing gets cleared out, here comes 2 more. Or that thing never gets cleared out. We have a decision, though. Am I going to serve? Am I not going to serve? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says this. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Our weapon as a Christian is this Bible right here. And I'm a firm believer that it's the AV 1611. I know your pastor believes that because it's on the sign out front. I went through an ambush in Karbala, Iraq, and I had 2 50-cal machine guns. And you guys are like, what's 50-cal machine guns? They shoot the big bullets. Those are the ones that shoot, and if they come within 12 inches of you, it's probably going to kill you. I had 4 trucks, 2 50-cal machine guns, and one of those trucks had a 50-cal and a saw, which is shoot the 5.56 round, which is a smaller round, but it's a machine gun. And my other 2 trucks just had smaller machine guns. And we get in that ambush, and it's kind of surreal at first because you're trying to figure out what's going on. Hey, what's that tanking? Oh, those are bullets bouncing off the truck. And then stuff starts blowing up. And all the way through that ambush, I was waiting for those 50 cals to open up. They make a distinct sound. You can hear them from a half mile away. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting. Never heard them. Never heard them one time. My saws opened up. Praise the Lord, we made it through that ambush. Nobody got hurt or killed. Trucks got tore up real bad. But those 50 cals never opened fire. Put a 50 cal together and you put the barrel on, there's a gauge that you got to stick in there. It's called headspace and timing. My gunners, we hadn't been in an ambush before that, so they were just, you know, doing it real quick and not really doing what they're supposed to do. And the headspace and timing was off. 50 cals went fire. Terrible feeling to be going through an ambush. And your biggest weapons that you have that are supposed to be suppressing the enemy and destroying the enemy won't fire. Ineffective weapons. But you know what? You get out there and try to witness somebody and not use Scripture and see how that works for you. That Bible says discerner of the heart, discerner of the mind, the thoughts. Your opinions don't matter. My opinions don't matter. They don't. You know, I could stand up here tonight and tell you what I think about our new government administration and all those things, but you know what? Where does that get me? Honestly, when I'm out there talking to people and I'm disagreeing with them about politics or this sports team or that sports team, what good is that doing for me or for them? I tell you what it does for me, it makes my blood pressure go up. And for them, they just get to the point where they don't want to talk to you anymore because you can't even agree to disagree. You go out there and you want to witness somebody and you want to make a difference, you want to be effective, you need to tell them about Jesus Christ. You need to quote that Bible. They don't know. They don't understand. Most people out there have no idea what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. How that Christ died for our sins. How that he was buried and he rose again the third day. Most people, you say the gospel, they, oh yeah, I know what the gospel is. What is it? Well, they tell us that at church. And they can't even tell you what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. We need to go out there as we're fighting for God. And you know what? What's the great thing about most tracts? There's scripture in them. There's Bible verses in them. There's Bible verse. I've never seen a good gospel tract that didn't have some type of scripture on it. You know what? When I witness to people, if I can't remember something and I'm talking to them and I'm trying to think of a verse for salvation, if I have a tract on me, I can open up that tract and say, oh, that's right, John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's amazing the tools that we have available to us and the weapons that we have available to us as Christians go out there and try to soul win and tell people about Jesus Christ. But I can tell you this, these tracts do no good in your glove box of your car. They do no good on your desk, in your desk drawer at home. And they do no good in your pocket if you never pull them out.
Amen.
I mean, I know there's a time that some people think it's cool to be a Christian and carry around gospel tracts. But you know what? If you're carrying around the same 15 gospel tracts all year,
amen,
and you forget and wash them half the time and they never get handed out, and you never have to replenish your stock, it's not an effective weapon.
Amen.
You need to hand them out and tell people about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know what I found is sometimes our approach doesn't work. Say, what do you mean? I mean, if I'm out there on the street and I'm talking to people, I found if there's a line of people coming and there's 7-8 people in that line, and the first person I try to hand a tract to, and they don't take it, guess what the next 6 or 7 people do? They don't take it either. But I've also found out, if that same tract, no different tract, but it's handed out by one of my sons, you know what happens? Usually that first person takes it, then the next 6 or 7 people take it. Sometimes we've got to change the way we think and the way we do things as we go out there and try to witness to people. And my boys will tell you, there's been times when people have said, no, no thanks, I don't want that. But I think they'd also tell you that they say a lot more ruder things to me than they do to them. And, you know, I one of the things I like about going street preaching is everybody tells me I'm number one. Let you think about that one for a second. The world doesn't want to hear what we have to tell them about Jesus Christ. But we have the best weapon available, and that's the Word of God. And our thoughts and our ideas, unless they line up with the Word of God and we're giving them Scripture, they're going to be ineffective weapons. Let's look at another one. Not only are we going to choose to fight or run, our weapons must be effective, but you never forget you're in combat. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Paul said this, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think it's safe to say that everything that Paul experienced in his life, he never forgot what he was doing to go out there and tell people about Jesus Christ. He didn't forget that there was a spiritual war going on, because every time he did, it was probably just about the time he felt that whip on his back, or just about the time he was thrown in jail again. And for us, we don't suffer that persecution, and we can't see the spiritual warfare going on, so it's easy for us to forget that there's a battle going on. When you're in an actual combat environment, you don't forget. Because if you forget, you may not ever wake up again after that. Say, well, I'm going to go outside today and I'm going to roll down the windows of the Humvee and I'm not going to wear my Kevlar helmet, my IDA, and you may not come back from that mission. And in actual combat, when stuff's blowing up around you and bullets are bouncing off you, you don't forget that you're in combat. But as Christians, we tend to forget it.
Right.
We tend to say, you know what? I'm going to take a week off. I'm going to take a month off. I'm going to do my duty as a Christian and go to church. But other than that, that's all you're getting from me. There's more to being a Christian than going to church. You know, coming to church isn't serving God. It's a responsibility that you and I need to look at and do and come to church and study the Word of God and hear God's Word preached, but you're not serving God by sitting in the pew. You serve by getting out of the pew and going and doing something for God, telling others about Jesus Christ. And once again, we can't flip on that news channel. We can't flip on that radio and hear about the thousands of people that have died in the last day and went to hell and is going to burn forever and never going to get out. But if we could, we would never forget that we're in a battle. I think it really sinks into most people when they know somebody, whether it's a family member or a friend, that dies that was unsaved. Other than that, it's easy to look around and read the obituaries and say, you know what, well, they look like they were 80-some years old anyway, and they look like they were around 100, and that looks like a really mean person anyway, and I didn't know them, so it doesn't matter. But can you imagine reading the obituaries and it saying, such and such died and is going to spend an eternity in hell, burning forever in torments and flames? Have a little bit different attitude about telling people about Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, when you're in actual combat, you don't forget you're in combat. And as Christians, we need to remember that there's a battle going on around us every day. Let's look at another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In combat, you're either going to fight or run. You must have effective weapons. You don't forget you're in combat. And in combat, you always look for the enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says this. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Not ignorant of his devices. And for some of you that think that ignorance is a bad word, because I used to, when I was little, somebody would say, oh, you're ignorant. I'd say, well, they're cursing at me. Ignorant means you don't understand or you don't know what's going on. It says, unless we be not ignorant of his devices, talking about Satan. Because we should know what Satan's doing. You know that Satan probably knows more about you than some of your closest friends do? You know that he knows how to get you to tempt your flesh and how he can tempt your flesh and get you to sin? I know he knows what it is for me. And if you're honest with yourself, he knows what it is for you too. I'm not supposed to be ignorant of his devices. In the military, we call it tactics, techniques, and procedures, TTPs. What do you mean? I mean, it was common practice when you're driving down the road for there to be a dead goat or a dead dog or a dead horse or, well, they didn't have horses, dead donkey, and it would blow up as you drove by. It was common practice to be driving down the road and there'd be a, what looked like just a car broke down along the side of the road full of explosives and it would blow up when you went by it. So what'd you do? As you drove and you came to that stuff, you went way over here instead of driving right next to it. So then if it blows up, it doesn't do near as much damage. And we were always, I can tell you 100% assuredly, every time we got in our vehicles and went outside the wire over in Iraq, that our gunners were awake, they had their sector of fire, and they were paying attention to what was going on. Always. They were always looking for the enemy. And we didn't know what the enemy looked like until they started shooting at us. But they were always looking for him. As a Christian, I think we spend a lot of time not even caring about the enemy.
Right.
You know who the enemy is? It's that one at work that makes all the jokes. And all the jokes about Christians and all the jokes about religion and that blasphemies God and uses God's name as a curse word. That's your enemy. You know what? They're not necessarily the enemy, but Satan's using them. And they don't have to be your enemy. You can tell them about Jesus Christ and they could get saved and they could be your ally.
Amen.
You know who your enemy is? Your enemy, you can't see them. Now sometimes they show up in physical form. And they're the ones that out there when you try to hand them a tract that threaten you and yell at you and scream at you and say you can't do this and try to get you scared so you stop serving God. But how often do we ever see the enemy because we don't do enough to find the enemy? You're not trying to hand out tracts. I guarantee you're not going to have any opposition. You're not trying to tell people, hey, you know, you're not supposed to blaspheme God's name. And Jesus Christ is my Savior, not a curse word that you're supposed to use. And you know what? Just because you go to the Catholic Church and you pay your money in, you're not going to go to heaven. Jesus said you must be born again. If you're not doing that, you're never going to see the enemy. You're never going to find them because they have no reason to say anything against you. But in a combat situation, you're always looking for them. There's guys that go out there and street preach and they have bad attitude about it. And they'll say things demeaning and belittling people. And they think, oh, well, these people are my enemies. No, if you talk to anybody like that, they're not going to like you. The difference is telling them that Jesus Christ died for their sins and calling them a harlot. And then they go out around and brag about, oh, I'm this and I'm that, and I got in this fist fight and that fist fight and thrown in jail. Yeah, if I went out on the street and it had nothing to do with the Word of God and started calling people names and making fun of them, I'd probably end up in a fist fight too. Mm-hmm. Only difference is they throw on a sign and say it's for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Your attitude means a lot. We're not supposed to go out there and make enemies. We're supposed to go out there and tell people about Jesus Christ, and somebody's going to stand up as your enemy, but the difference is, are you going to stand there and continue to witness to him, or are you going to turn and run? You should always be looking for an opportunity to tell people about Jesus Christ. Let's look at another one. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Talking about being in Christian combat tonight, serving the Lord, being in God's army. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible says this. It says, actually, let's look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. In combat, we kind of talked about this already, but everybody needs to have the same objectives. Everybody needs to be going in the same direction. You know why we come to church? In verse 25 it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but look up above it. Verse 24 it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We come to church to convince each other and provoke each other to go out there and serve God, to love one another, to do something for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Church isn't supposed to be a place where we come and we just get to talk to our friends and we don't talk about the Bible and, you know, we sit there. I've been there. Where you sit there and you're more concerned about when's he going to shut his mouth and what am I going to eat after this service. You know, if I get home by 8:30, I might catch the end of the game. It's your flesh.
Right.
And we're supposed to come to church because our objective is supposed to be to go out there and reach a lost and dying world. Now, I may be wrong on this, but I've always believed since I got saved there's two purposes for the church. The first is to reach a lost and dying world. The second is to edify the saints so they can go do another first one. That's why I believe the church exists. Now, edification comes in a lot of different forms. And reaching a lost and dying world can be done in a lot of different ways. But if we're looking for other things besides that in church and this program and that program and how are they going to treat my kids and are they going to have basketball for them and flag football and this frisbee and all that other stuff, it's the wrong motives for going to church. You know, when I come to church, I'm supposed to sit there and say, you know what? This is for that person over there, right? That's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be prayed up, and when that preacher starts preaching, I'm supposed to say, Lord, speak to me. I know that there's something in here for me, and maybe not everything, but Lord, you got something for me. What is it? And praise the Lord, if I don't get anything out of that, you know where I should be? Now, this is Brother Mike. I can't show you this in the Bible. I don't have the verses written down. This is Brother Mike. I sit through a service and all I can think about is what I'm supposed to eat afterwards and when he's going to shut up. You know where I should be when he gets done preaching? Right up front saying, Lord, what's the matter with me?
Right.
I'm not supposed to come to church and let my mind wander and worry about everything else. Mm-hmm. I'm saying there are going to be some services that, you know, you just might not get anything out of, but if that's consistent over and over again, there's something wrong. That's not with the preacher. It's not with the Word of God. It's with you. Something spiritually wrong. We all need to have the same objective as a Christian. Remember what Revelation 4:11 said, we're supposed to please God. He created all things for his pleasure. That's why we come to church, is to go out there and serve him and to please him. Let's look at another one. Action is vital. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10, the Bible says, we're good at quoting Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Praise the Lord, we're saved by grace through faith. Amen? If I had to work my way into heaven, I probably wouldn't even be close anywhere by now. Maybe some of you are a lot more spiritual than me, and you might be almost there, but I'm probably still way down here somewhere. And praise the Lord, once I'm saved, I don't have to work to keep it, amen? I probably would have had to get saved like 15 different times, at least, this month.
You might be a little bit more spiritual than me, and you might only have to do it once or twice, but if I had to get saved every time I sinned, I wouldn't make it out the church door. I wouldn't make it home by the time I have to get saved again. So praise the Lord, we're saved by grace through faith. What's that next verse say? Where is workmanship? We're supposed to go out there, workmanship, we're supposed to go out there and serve God unto good works. He wants us to serve Him. Action is vital. When you're in combat, when the enemy starts shooting at you, if you don't start returning fire right away, you know what happens? The enemy gets emboldened. And they continue to press the battle, and they continue to come forward, and they continue to fight. And if you're not shooting back, they're going to overrun you. I think that's what's happened in the Christian society today. We stopped fighting back a long time ago. And I'm not talking about take up your cause and go out and stand in front of all the abortion clinics and do all that stuff and fight this and that. I'm talking about we stopped taking a stand for Jesus Christ.
Right.
We stopped taking a stand for God. We let the Muslims come in and they take their stand. Oh, you can come in and put that junk up all over the place, put your foot washing station in here and do all that, but we can't pray in a school.
Yeah.
Action is vital. And when you stop going out there and standing for the Word of God, and taking a stand and saying, why can't I pray in this school? What's the matter with it? Show me what law prohibits me from praying. There isn't one. Separation of church and state. They got that backwards. It's supposed to be so the government can't mandate a religion. Not so you can't pray in school and say the Pledge of Allegiance. But action is vital. And when we stop taking a stand as Christians, and I'm not talking about just us in here. This has been going on for decades.
Right.
God's people stopped taking a stand, they stopped having action, and now we're in the state that we're in. And you and I need to put action to our words. And I'm not talking about every little cause out there and, you know, the way this person dresses and that person dresses. I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. You know, it amazes, I guess it doesn't amaze me, but it frustrates me that there's atheists out there that are concerned because some pastors are going to say a prayer at Obama's inauguration. Can I tell you this? We're probably pretty safe that those prayers aren't going to have the gospel message in them, amen? That's probably a pretty safe wager right there that those two pastors that are going to pray aren't going to glorify and uplift Jesus Christ and talk about the blood of Jesus and how to be born again. But there's a judge actually entertaining the thought, well, maybe we can't let them pray. What a mess. How did we get here? Because Christians stopped taking a stand.
Right.
Look at another one, and I'll wrap it up here pretty quick. Look at Colossians chapter 4. We're going to look at a couple different verses here. Colossians chapter 4. In verse 14, the Bible says this. It says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now go back to Philemon 24. I know I told you I'm simple. I say Philemon. Some people say Philemon. I just say Philemon. 24, the Bible says this. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Notice that name Demas both times. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Both those times he was calling him a fellow laborer. He's saying he greets you. And now look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. He says, For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Demas hath forsaken me. There are casualties in combat. There's always going to be casualties in combat. 1 Timothy 6:10 talks about people loving money more than God. They love riches. They're more concerned about their wealth. You know how many casualties I've seen as a Christian in combat? I'm not talking about the actual battle in Iraq. I'm talking about in God's army as a Christian. And you, any of you that have been saved for a while can say the same thing. They come in, they get saved, they get on fire for God, they're going on visitation, they're not missing a service, They're here every time the church doors are open. Every time there's something to do, they're volunteering, and then 2 months later, they're gone, disappeared. Casualty. You know what we have to do as a Christian when one of our fellow brothers or sisters goes down? Try to encourage them, get them back up. But if they don't get back up and keep running, you know what you do? You keep going. In military, you call it pressing the fight, pressing the battle. Somebody goes down on your left or right, you try to give them immediate first aid, but you need to continue to fight and continue to move forward. Same thing we need to do as God's children. I can guarantee you, if you're a Christian for any length of time, and you're trying to serve God and trying to do the best that you can, sooner or later, you're going to see somebody quit. You're going to see somebody go down, and they're going to become a casualty. Is it heartbreaking? Yes, it is. But you know what? There's just some people you... Doesn't matter what you say to them, they're not coming back into the fight. And as a Christian, you and I need to keep going. It's going to be casualties. If you stopped everything because you had a casualty, you never win a war. You never make it anywhere. Because as soon as you get in there and somebody gets shot and you say, that's it, we're done fighting, we all have to render first aid to this person, aid to this person, then the enemy's just going to overrun you. And as a Christian, you're going to see your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ become casualties. But you need to keep going forward. You need to keep going out there serving God. You need to keep in the fight and telling people about Jesus. And last one, and I'll be done, Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Bible says this, look at verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Not all wounds are fatal wounds. I had guys got hurt over there, rocket propelled grenade hit the Humvee and filled them full of shrapnel, and it took them a while. They messed up the inside of the truck, and they went in, and they tried to pull out the shrapnel. They left a bunch in, but you know what? Within 3 days, those guys were back out on combat patrol. And what do we do as Christians sometimes? Well, a preacher said this, and it offended me. I'm not going back. Or I said, I tried to witness somebody and they cursed at me. And they called me a name. And they said, I'm infringing on their rights. I'm done. I quit. I give up. I can guarantee you, not only are you going to see people become casualties, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're out there trying to serve God, but I can guarantee you that sooner or later, somebody's going to hurt your feelings. Somebody's going to say something that's not very nice to you. And sometimes it's from people that you've grown up with. Sometimes it's your own family. Because what happened to you? All of a sudden you're better than me because you got saved. And now you're telling me I have to get saved? But you know what? It's not a fatal wound. You know when our fatal wound happens? When this body gives up and is done. When your heart's not beating anymore, that's when the fatal wound happens. And oftentimes, what do as Christians? The smallest little thing. Church split over because they can't agree to vote on the same color carpet. Church split because do we want the panel on this side? And this half of the church says, no, we want it over there. And this half of the church says, over there. Well, we have two of them. Well, this one should be there and that one should be there. And the church splits. What a mess. It's called majoring on the minors. We can't let every little thing that happens to us as a Christian stop us. Because if that's the case, you probably wouldn't make it through a month being saved. I guarantee you, somebody's going to do something, say something, look at you in a way that you're not going to like sooner or later. Not outside the church, I'm talking about in the church. Well, he's worn that same tie 3 weeks in a row. Praise the Lord, he's wearing a tie. Amen. Silly things. Christian combat. Are you in the fight at all?
When's the last time you took a stand for God? When's the last time you said, you know what, I enlisted in God's army and I'm going to go out there and serve Him? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I am thankful again for the chance to preach Your Word, Lord, and I pray tonight that Your Word would not return void, that it would go out there and it would speak the hearts and speak the minds. Father, I pray as we have a song that, Lord, if there's any here tonight that, Lord, need some time alone with You, that they pray and get some things straightened out, Lord. Father, as we leave this place tonight, Lord, don't allow us to leave the same way we come in. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be a good soldier for You. Lord, that You would help us to do what You want us to do and not what we want to do. Father, once again, thank You for the opportunity. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the examples that are in Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Number three.
Number three.
On the table back there just for decoration. Hopefully you don't take them just to read them individually, but to be a witness in this world. People are lost and dying without Jesus Christ and going to hell, and you can make a difference in the world. Are you serving the Lord? Are you being a witness for Him? No such thing as a silent witness. Without a weapon. right, we're going to be dismissed in prayer. Brother Michael, if you would, take your boys back with you and stand back there so folks can shake your hand as they're going out. And make sure you come by and thank them for having come down and been with us and faithful preaching of the Word of God. Great blessing the two young men were with their song this evening. And ladies, be sure to get back and meet his wife back there. All right, let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Eric Bruner, if you would, close us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, the privilege of the night here preaching the Word of the Lord. And everybody, what a great message if every church in America could hear the message we heard tonight. And challenge to put before us, dear God. And we give up, we tell us, God, dear Lord, not to be afraid of their faces. And just to be able to witness others, dear Lord. And just thank you, dear God, once again for this message to help us, dear God, to walk closer to you, dear Lord, and be weak in the flesh, but be strong in your spirit, dear God. And just help us as we go out of faith, dear Lord, to be better witnesses for you. And to be not just hearers of the Lord, but the doers of the Lord, dear Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen.